Good morning. My name is Dallas. I'm going to read the scripture for us this morning. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. It says this. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then. Amen. Well, it's my honor to introduce our speaker today, but before I do that, I'd love to take a moment and pray for the other elders. You guys see my face up here a lot. You don't see a lot of the other elders. They teach in many other capacities. So I wanted to, one, let you know who they are, and two, just spend a moment praying for them. Matt Lorenzen, he leads the youth, does a wonderful job there. Mark Frangione, he leads down the kids' barn, leads a life group. Craig Cheshire leads a life group as well. David Eldridge does, you know, basically everything around here. And while you don't see them on stage, you do see them just as much as me, setting the doctrine for the church, overseeing the church and all that. So I'd love to just take a moment and pray for them. Father, we pray in this moment, one, that your name would be glorified this morning. Right now in this moment, prepare our hearts. Help us to be open to receiving your word here this morning. And Father, we do pray for our elders. We pray that you would just guide them, protect their hearts from the enemy. I pray that you would just help them to continue to see you for who you are, to be remade in love, to give them your energy in all that they do. Father, we know that we need you desperately. If we ever want to see anything good, it's all from you. And I pray that you will continue to renew that truth within that elder room. And Father, that's our prayer. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Tara, why don't you come on up? Give Tara a hand. She's going to speak today. And before I officially give it over, can I pray for you as well?
I would love that.
Good. Father, I pray for Tara right now in this moment. Give her a boldness. Give her a confidence. Just speak straight through her. I pray that it'll be your word all over it this morning. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dallas. Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Tara. If you're curious about my role here, I am not an elder or a pastor. I help lead the women's ministry here, and I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher who has been known to be just a little bit passionate about sharing God's word, and that is because it has changed my life, and it continues to change my life. And I really believe that the message, and this is after much consideration, I believe that the message that he's given me to share today has the potential to change your life as well. But before we jump into that, last week, Matt, my husband and I, a couple weeks ago, we had the privilege of traveling to Orlando with some of the leaders from the church to attend the Exponential Church Leadership Conference. And y'all, it was amazing. We learned so much. We had the best time together. Thank you for supporting us going on that. But some of us who went on the trip from the church, we had the tendency to get into these really in-depth, deep spiritual conversations, okay? We talked at length about things. We pondered things together. We asked a lot of questions. And if you know my husband, although he is very, very wise, he's not really a deep, pondery kind of guy, okay? It's just not, amen, amen. It's just not really who he is. Well, that first night, the other people don't know this, so that first night, we went to bed that night, and he said something to me like this. He said, you know, after hearing you guys today, I think I need to start thinking about things a little more. I need to start thinking more deeply and asking more questions. And this struck me as funny because I know him. Some of y'all know him, and it's just not him. But the next morning, after he has turned over this new leaf that no one else knows about, I hear him and Dallas in the kitchen. And they're talking, and Dallas just nonchalantly asking an innocent question. He's like, "Hey, Matt, are we friends?" And instead of being like, "Yeah, man, of course we're friends," like any normal human being would do, my new deep and now philosophical husband responds with, "Well, how do you define friendship?" to which Dallas says, "I think I have my answer." And I share that with you this morning because even though the question was not asked in the right context, I do think it is a question we need to ask ourselves. How do we define friendship? Did you know that the Bible references friendship or specific aspects of friendship more than 100 times? And that doesn't even include all the examples of friendship that it gives us. The Lord knew how pivotal friendship was going to be in our lives, but unfortunately, in the day and age that we live in, I think our definition of friendship has been just greatly watered down. And friendship has now been relegated to a check mark beside someone's Facebook profile page. Or maybe it's the parents you sit next to at your kid's soccer game, but you really don't know anything about them. Friendship has been relegated to those types of relationships instead of the deep, meaningful relationships God intended friendship to be. As a society, we've become more reclusive. And it may not seem that way because we're going all the time. We're busy all the time. We've made so many commitments with our lives, but because of that, we've scheduled very little margin in our lives. So when we do have a second of downtime, we no longer have the willpower to invest in deep and meaningful relationships anymore. It's almost a badge of honor to not need anyone. Have you noticed that? There's this meme that goes around on social media, and I hesitate to share it because some of you might have shared this, and if you did, there's no judgment, because the first time I read it, it resonated with me. But there's this meme that goes around that says, "I'm not going. Whatever you're inviting me to, I may say that I'm going to go, but I'm not going to go. I might think about going, still not going to go. I might go if my schedule clears up, but probably not, because I'm still not going to go." Elevating this idea of not needing anyone and doing life alone. So, as anxiety and depression skyrocket in our society, deep, meaningful relationships continue to decline. Have you seen it? Have you noticed it happening around you? Y'all, we were made for community. We were made to be known. And not just by the Lord, yes, by him, but by each other. We were created with this innate desire for friendships because the Lord knew how much we would need them, and he knew how powerfully he could work through them. I think the Lord led me to talk about friendship this morning because we're coming off the heels of this incredible unity series that Dallas has been doing. It's been amazing. But I think learning about friendship actually goes hand in hand with having unity. Learning how to have healthy and intimate relationships within God's people will actually increase unity within the church and then therefore naturally reduce conflict, right? We can't get rid of it altogether, but we can reduce it by knowing what healthy relationships look like. So this morning, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We are going to investigate the power of deep, meaningful friendships by looking at the relationship between David and Jonathan. So men, if you tempted to just tune me out because you thought this was a girly message about friendship, we're looking at the relationship between two men here. Now, I love the friendship between Jonathan and David, because they should have been anything but friends, right? Do you know about them? If you don't know about Jonathan and David, I'll tell you. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. He was next in line for the throne of God's people. David, on the other hand, was just a no-name shepherd boy who God's prophet Samuel anointed to be the next king instead of Jonathan. Y'all, these were natural enemies, right? This was a great case for conflict. Literal wars have been started over less than this. But let's see how their relationship started off. I know Dallas read the first three verses. We're going to read the first five together. It says this. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Today, we're going to look at some identifying marks of genuine friendships, all right? Number one, true friends really love each other. They really love each other. And before you're like, oh, well, thank you, Tara, for that groundbreaking information. I'm glad I woke up for that one. I want you to think about it for a minute. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. I had to do a heart check on that. I'm not sure that I can say that about many people, maybe my kids, maybe my spouse, but my friends, do we really love them as our own souls? This was a deep kind of love, but I also want to point out that this was not some type of disordered love. Now, in recent years, decades even, people have started to look at this relationship between David and Jonathan with a little suspicion, because this is two men here. But I want to point out that in the original language, the term used to describe the love that they had was phileo. That's a deep brotherhood kind of love, a deep friendship kind of love, not eros, which is kind of the romantic love of desire. This is phileo. And I think it's interesting because the Greeks actually considered phileo to be a much greater love than eros. Eros, that romantic love of desire, as we all know, can be a fickle love. But not phileo. Phileo is a deep and enduring love, which is why most people in good marriages will say that their spouse is actually their best friend. Because over the course of time, phileo will trump eros. These two guys, they had a deep love for one another. They just kind of clicked. Have you ever had a friend like that? Maybe your connection wasn't as instant as David and Jonathan's, but over time, your hearts were just knit together. Man, if you do, I want to tell you this morning, hold on to that friendship. Protect it. Be willing to intentionally invest in it. It is much more likely you will only have a few friendships in your life like this, not a bunch. It's worth your effort. Jonathan and David, they're going to do so much for each other in the next little bit that we're going to read, but I want to point out that the reason why they are doing all these things for one another is because they really, really love each other. But as they are growing in their friendship, meanwhile, King Saul, he's getting very insecure about the shepherd boy, David. It's like everything David touches just turns to gold. No matter what Saul sends him into, victory. And so Saul starts growing more and more insecure. He starts trying to make David trip up and fail. But in verse 14, it says that David prospered in all he did because God's hand was on him. But Saul became so jealous. This is a side note. Jealousy, nothing will ruin a relationship faster than jealousy. Because jealousy blinds us. David, he's out there winning victories for King Saul. He's making King Saul look good, right? But Saul can't see that. He can't see it all. All he can see is that God's blessing and provision was on David's life. And that made him so insecure that he never trusted in God's provision for his own life anymore. And so he started trying to grasp at straws, to manipulate things himself, to control things himself. And that never works, right? Never works. But Jonathan, on the other hand, he handled this differently. Jonathan, who had every reason to be insecure, saw God's hand on David's life. And instead of resenting it, instead of being jealous of it, he just aligns himself with it. He's like, look, if that's where God is working, then I want to come alongside of that. I want to be a part of that. Y'all, that is a game changer. When we rest so contently and so confidently in God's plan for our lives and his love for us, we will begin to be able to champion other people and cheer them on and come alongside of them and align ourselves with where God is working. True friends really love each other. Let's read what happens next. 1 Samuel chapter 19, we're going to skip over a chapter. This is after David. Victory. God's power is on his life. And it says in chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 again. It says, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, 'Saul, my father, he seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I will speak to my father about you. And if I learn anything, I will tell you.'" And listen to this part. "And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, 'Let not the king sin against your servant David, because he's not sinned against you, and because his deeds have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck down the Philistine.'" Remember that, Dad? "And the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?" Our second mark of genuine friendship is true friends advocate for each other. Man, Jonathan was going to bat for David here, right? And God had uniquely positioned him to be able to do this. Look, if God ever puts you in a position where you have a good relationship with two people who are at conflict with one another, then God has uniquely positioned you there to advocate for peace. And God had put Jonathan in that position. And Jonathan was not afraid to speak up for fear of losing his father's favor. He was willing to sacrifice his father's favor for his friend's safety if necessary. Are you willing to go out of your way to go to bat for your friends? Are you willing to sacrifice for them, to meet their needs at the cost of your own sometimes? Are you really willing to really back up that love that we say we feel for them, even if it's not easy, even if it puts us in a tight spot? Jonathan went to bat for David, and when he did, when he advocated for them, Saul kind of relented. Saul's like, okay, I won't kill him. But that didn't last for long, because Saul didn't deal with that jealousy that he felt, so it came back. And once again, he's just dead set on striking down David. David has to run and flee and go into hiding. And when he finds Jonathan again, he's kind of spiraling at this point, okay? He's like, "What is my sin, Jonathan? What is my iniquity that your father keeps coming after me, trying to kill me? Like, what have I done to cause all this? Am I going to spend my life in hiding?" He's kind of reeling at this point. He's not putting up a front like he has it all together. That's because, number three, true friends are real with each other. True friends are willing to put down the facade of who they want everyone else to think that they are and be who they really are instead. I can't remember where I read this in somewhere in my preparations, but it said something like this: people will respect you for your strengths, but they will relate to you for your weaknesses. If you are lacking deep and genuine friendships in your life today, I want you to ask yourself a hard question. Have you ever let anybody see the messy side of you? Have you ever let anybody see those dark places that you have spent your life trying to cover up? My friend Kate, where is she? Kate, the drummer Kate, the cool drummer Kate who played the guitar this morning because she's just that talented that she can do that. On our trip to Florida, she said something so wise. She said, vulnerability will really deepen your relationships. And Kate said that because she's walked that out. Over the past year, Kate brought to light some dark places that were in her life. Some places, and I got her permission to share this morning, some places that she wanted to stay hidden forever. She just wanted them to cover up and stay in darkness, and she didn't want to talk about them or tell anybody about them. So she had spent so much time her whole life doing that. With this that past year, she decided to go a different direction. And she exposed those dark places to the light. She was real with people. She allowed us to come into her situation and to see the truth of it and the shame that she felt that she never should have felt in the first place. And we were able to speak life into that. But even though she had tried to let it go for years, and maybe you're here and you heard Dallas's message last week and it was incredible, and you want to let it go, you want to let it go, but you can't because you've had it hidden for so long. Man, expose that thing to the light. Because once you have exposed it to the light, the darkness will no longer overcome the light. But if you think you're going to walk through it by yourself and keep it hidden forever, there's no healing in that. And Kate could speak to that. I also read this in my preparation. If you isolate yourself and have no genuine relationships, you will blow your life up somewhere. It's a bold statement, right? I had to think about that one. Like, is that true? If you isolate yourself and have no genuine relationships, you will blow your life up somewhere. I think there is a lot of truth to that. I almost experienced that this past week, if I'm being honest. Y'all, this message was not coming together, okay? It just was not coming together. I didn't want to speak on this, to be honest. I don't speak on Sunday mornings very often, and I'm just going to be transparent. I wanted to speak on something, quote-unquote, powerful. I didn't want to speak on friendship. But I kept feeling the Lord nudging me in this direction, like literally sending me signs. And I don't say that loosely. That is not something I claim very often. But literally, just in my face, over and over again, the Lord kept saying, here you go, here you go. This is the direction I'm leading you in. I was fighting. I did not want to talk about this. My friend Lisa. Lisa Flippin called me. She has been pouring into my life in a way that I very much needed. And she didn't know I was spiraling at the time. But she asked me how my message prep was going. And I had a choice in that moment. To be like, oh, it's coming along. Come on. But instead, I said, not good. Not good. I said, I feel like I am literally wrestling with the Lord trying to write this thing. It's not powerful. It's not good. I don't know why he wants me to talk about this. I was just honest, and I honestly didn't tell her half of what I was feeling. Like, I should just throw in the towel now because turns out I'm not cut out for any of this after all. I can't handle this kind of pressure. Like, I should just quit now so everyone doesn't fall asleep on Sunday. That is literally what I was thinking. And Lisa, she said, Tara, you are called to this. She said, it is abundantly evident that you are called to this. You keep wrestling. You keep working on it. The Lord will give you a word that we need to hear. And then she prayed for me on the phone. And then throughout the next couple days, she kept encouraging me and sending me resources and praying for me. But here's the point. She wouldn't have known what she needed to do if I wouldn't have been honest to begin with. If I would have just put up that front, that facade that people expect me to have. True friends are real with each other, so that we can be what each other need, right? And then lastly, before we spend a few minutes tying it all together, true friends protect each other. Man, he's on it. As soon as I point, it pops up there. True friends protect each other. Back to Saul and Jonathan. So they devised this plan to see if Saul's anger has kind of calmed down towards David, or if David's still in danger. Turns out jealousy still got a hold of that Saul. So he's still set on killing David. So Jonathan sends word to David by shooting some arrows in a certain direction to let David know, it's really true, that's really what happened, to let David know, hey, don't come back. You need to stay in hiding. It's still not safe for you here because true friends protect each other. Dallas hit on this Wednesday night, and I already had it written down, so that just means somebody else must need to hear it again. Maybe you have a friend in your life and danger is lurking at their door. Maybe they just always have to have that one drink too many. Maybe they linger in conversation with that person from the opposite sex just a little too long. Or you notice them texting in secret. Maybe there's something in their family that's causing you to worry that they're going to blow up their parenting. Maybe there's just bitterness in their life that they're holding on so tightly, and you see the damage that's causing, and you know the Lord wants them to let that go. These things all lead to danger. And a true friend, a real friend, will warn their friend when danger is lurking at their door. But you want to know the hard part? A true friend will also accept those warnings well. What about when one of your friends comes to your life and they're like, oh, I've seen this thing and I'm worried it's going to produce danger in your life. Are you quick to just, man, justify all the reasons why you are clearly right and they're silly for even bringing it up to begin with? Are you willing to actually listen to them and to realize this was not an easy thing for them to do, to come to you? Man, we may think that we want friends who just back us up on everything we say and everything we do, but those are not the kind of friends that we need. Man, if you have a friend who is willing to warn you when danger is heading your way, hold on to that friend, because they must love you a whole lot to be willing to do that. Real friends go above and beyond to protect each other. All right, why are we even talking about this? Why does any of this really matter? I've wrestled with that all week long. My friend Lisa reminded me of something else. Y'all ever been to California? You ever seen those redwood trees, those sequoia trees? Raise your hand. Y'all seen them? Aren't they amazing? They're amazing. I've got a picture of, that's my family. Can y'all even see us? My husband is 6'6", okay? And that is how minuscule we look next to that redwood tree. And the crazy thing is, this is not even like the greatest redwood tree, the biggest redwood tree. It was just the one that happened to be standing by us in the forest when I wanted to take the picture, okay? It's just an average redwood tree. Redwood trees grow on average to 300 feet high. Some of the tallest around 350 feet high. Y'all, that is a massive tree. You know the crazy thing about redwood trees? Their roots aren't very deep. About 6 to 12 feet deep. That's it. To support that kind of massive height. But even though they are not deep, they are wide. And they grow in groves with other trees, and they intertwine their roots together so that when floods come, so that when storms come or high winds come, even though they are not deep enough, they are strong enough. Y'all, there will come a time in your life when your roots simply will not be deep enough. They just won't be. For the storms that are going to come your way, for the floods that are going to come your way, they won't be deep enough. And you're going to need people around you who will advocate for you, who will protect you, who will love you through those difficult things. I wrestled with this topic because it seemed frivolous. It seemed frivolous to me. But that was the voice of the world speaking, not the voice of God. Because the Word of God speaks of friendship in a much more sacred way than that. God works mightily through our friendships. I have seen it. I have seen that. And when I was telling God, nope, I don't want to talk about that. That's just, it's not, it's too frivolous. He said, read it again. Read it again. Okay, for the 19th time now. And that time when I read it, the obvious jumped out of the pages. God used this friendship between David and Jonathan to literally save David's life. That's not frivolous. That is powerful. And yes, God is the one who anointed David to be the next king, but he used Jonathan as the means to get him there. That is powerful. Are you willing to be that kind of friend? Are you willing to be the Jonathan of the story? As I was praying through all this, that was my prayer, Lord. I want to be the means that you use to get someone else to their throne. And he said, but what if it cost you? Because it cost Jonathan something. Man, we look back and we revere David. We talk about David all the time. We teach on David, and rightfully so. But if the world had a lot more Jonathans, we would have a lot more Davids. People who are sitting so securely in God's plan for their life. People who are sitting so securely in God's love for them that they just propel other people forward. That's our pastor. That's our pastor's wife. That's what they do. They propel others forward. We need more people who are willing to give up their lives for their friend, to lay down their lives for their brothers and sisters, because by this, the world will know that we are his disciples. Jesus, y'all, he took this very seriously, this whole relationship thing. He was about it. He spent his entire life, fact check me on this, investing in friendships, investing in relationships so much more than he did teaching those crowds. He spent his entire lives investing in those friendships and then just laying his life down for them, because he knew that was what would propel the gospel forward. Teaching those crowds, maybe. But those 12 men that he invested into continually, that he poured his life into, that he laid his life down for, that was what was going to propel the gospel forward. And guess what? That is still what will propel the gospel forward. When an outside dying world looks at the church filled with relationships like that, they will want some of that. And we will have them busting through our doors to get some of that. Worship team, you all can go ahead and come. Stay with me. Maybe you're here today and this message has just made you feel vulnerable. Maybe you're in a place in your life right now where you feel isolated and alone. And the fact that I'm even talking about friendships just makes you feel even more alone. Man, I want to tell you this morning that you have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He never leaves you. He will never forsake you. He is always right there with you. But maybe you've had some hurt from things that have happened in friendships in the past, and you carry that hurt around with you, and because of it, you have protected yourself from having any other close relationships for so long now, and you've convinced yourself, look, I can do this life on my own. I don't need anybody else. Man, those storms are going to do a lot more damage if you try to weather them alone. It takes courage to put yourself out there again. Man, but the Lord, he can give you that. And Jesus can mend those hurt places in your life, because he's not like any other friend that you've ever had before. He is true, and he will show you how to be the friend that you're looking for. But you got to ask for the courage to step out and to move towards those relationships. Maybe you're here today and you've been hiding the messy side of you for so long that you try to forget that it's there because you've buried it down, those secrets, that darkness that you don't want anybody to know about, and you've worked so hard to protect them from that. It's not even your fault. You just have so much shame about it for some reason. Man, expose that thing to the light. You cannot let it go when you keep it in darkness. But once you expose that thing, those issues to the light, the darkness will not overcome it any longer. Maybe you're here today and you're sitting pretty because the Lord has given you some incredible friendships. Man, would you praise Him for those this morning? Those are such rare gifts. Would you thank Him for those? Would you acknowledge that those are gifts from His hand? But the reason, one of the reasons why He gave them to you is because He wants to work powerfully through those friendships. And maybe you've gotten off the tracks a little bit, and God's like, all right, you two, come back to me because I got a purpose for you. I got a mission for this friendship that is greater than you're focusing on right now. And advocate for your friends. Don't quit when it gets hard. Conflict will come. It'll come. Be willing to work through that with the friends that God has given you. And then finally, I just challenge you, be on the lookout for someone new the Lord wants to bring into your circle. Don't keep it closed. Maybe there's someone else that God's like, invest in this person, invest in this relationship. When we were in Florida, one of my workshop leaders said this: the greatest theft is not Satan taking what you have, but Satan keeping us from all that God has for us. What if it's people? What if what Satan is trying to keep from us that God has for us is people? The people who need us the most and the people that we need the most, because he knows if he can just keep us isolated and alone, we will be weak. He knows that God can do powerful things through friendships when we are bold enough to ask him to. Look, I don't know how the Lord is dealing with your heart this morning, but however it is, listen to him. Listen to him. Ask for the courage to step out in obedience to whatever he has on your heart. Let's stand and worship him together.